Who would you consider to be the wisest person that you know? Now, think about that for just a minute. Now, there's probably a name that came across your heart or your mind, or somebody that you have in your lifetime said, man, I tell you, that person right there is the wisest one that I know. Now, as you keep that person in your mind, let me ask you this. How has your life personally been influenced by that person who you felt like was the wisest person that you know? Listen, grab your Bible, come on back. In just a minute, we're going to look at Solomon as he prays for wisdom out of the book of 1 Kings chapter 3. Will you join us? Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Trust and pray that your day is going well. A moment ago, I asked you the question of who is the wisest person that you know? And for all of us, we had somebody that came to our heart and to our mind. And I also asked that question, how has that person's wisdom, that particular person, influenced your life? How has it influenced you to make better decisions? How has it influenced you to strive to be wise like that person that you know? Now, if you have your Bible, if you don't, grab one real quick and come on back. We're going to be looking at passages that come out of 1 Kings chapter 3 as Solomon prays to the Lord and seeks wisdom. When we look at our passage, we begin with verse 5. It's actually going to be 1 Kings chapter 3. Beginning at verse 5, it says, And at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? And Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Verse 7, now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall any like you after, and nor shall any like you arise after you. Verse 13, and I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we ask that you would truly give us a discerning heart. Lord, we pray that we would be careful to listen to what the Spirit has to say to us today. And Lord, may we be like Solomon. May we ask for wisdom. And Lord, we're so grateful that when we ask, you will provide. Help us, Father, to consider the things of our heart, the things that you are putting within our path that we have to deal with. And Lord, we need your wisdom, and we need it on a daily basis to follow you in a way that will be pleasing to you, but in a way that would also touch others. So Lord, right now, we just pray that you would do what only you can do in speaking to our hearts. Help us, Father, to lift you up. And as always, we ask that you would draw all men unto you. Lord, also, if there's one that doesn't know you, may today be the day that they would turn their heart over to you and begin a life anew. Lord, thank you so much for the time, the moments, and the opportunities that we have to be able to spend in your word. Lord, use this your servant, that you and you alone truly would be lifted up, as we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. As we look at our scripture text today and in our story, you know, David had a son, and David's son was named Solomon. And Solomon had become king of Israel. And what had happened in our text is that the Lord has appeared to him in a dream. And the Lord actually asked Solomon a question in this dream. And we'll find that in our scripture text in verse 5. Which says this, it says at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, so this is God's question to Solomon. He says this, and I love how it's written in the New King James. It says, ask. Just that is one particular phrase right there, ask. It's got an explanation point. Ask, what shall I give you? Now, man, I tell you, we would sit back and think, boy, that'd be great for God to come up to us and say, ask. And I'll give it to you. Now, there's a test along the way as well with this. What would somebody ask for? If you were in that particular position and the Lord appeared to you and said, ask, what is it that you want? What would you ask him for? You know, in a lot of cases, you know, people would sit back and they would ask for exactly what is mentioned a little bit later on in this text. You know, somebody might say, well, God, I ask for long life, or Lord, I ask that you would provide for me riches, or many selfish things. So God, in asking this question, is also putting to the test Solomon. You know, what is he going to ask for? How many times has somebody been in a position, or you know, maybe when you were younger, somebody said, well, if you found the magic lamp with a genie in it and you were granted three wishes, what would you wish for? It's interesting, just as conversation, to hear what people have said along the way in those particular conversations. Many people would say, well, I'd ask that I would be wealthy. I would ask that I would have a bigger house. I would ask all these different things that really, when it boils down to it, are very, very selfish things. So the Lord is asking Solomon in the midst of this dream, you know, he's saying, you can ask me what you want and I will grant that to you. Now, it's very interesting what Solomon said. And we find Solomon's answer to God's question beginning at verse 6 of our text. It says, so this is what Solomon said to him when the Lord said, ask me, what do you want? Verse 6 says, and Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to set on his throne as it is this day. So he's kind of laying out his case before God. He says, you know, you were good to my daddy. You walked with him. Yeah, he was upright and walking with you. And he walked in truth, and he walked in righteousness, and you have been kind to him, and you've given him a son to sit on the throne as it is this day. Now, Solomon was referring to himself. You know, he's saying, you gave David a son, that's me, to sit on the throne as it is this day. And then verse 7 says, now, he's starting to get to the point where he's going to ask for something from God as God had commanded him. Verse 7 says, now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in. Now, what essentially Solomon was saying is this. He's saying, you know what, I'm king and I don't know how to be king. I don't know how to do this. Maybe you've been in a situation like that before, and yeah, you have been put into a place, whether it's of leadership or something that calls for some action from you. Maybe you have been called to be in a position to lead people, and you're sitting there and your confidence is really low. You're like, man, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do this job. So this is what was really paramount on Solomon's mind at this particular point. It wasn't longer life. It wasn't riches. You know, Solomon finds himself in the position of being a king, and he says, I don't know how to be a king. you know, I don't know how to do this. I don't know, you know, how to judge the people as I ought to. Matter of fact, verse 8 says this, and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen. A great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. So he is understanding. Solomon is understanding the magnitude of the position that he is in, and he feels unworthy. He feels unable to be able to do that. He's saying, man, I'm just not the guy for this job. But yet here I am because of your kindness, O Lord. You have placed me in this position. So then down in verse 9, he gets to what he's asking for. He's kind of laid his case out and the reason why he's going to ask what he's going to ask. And then in verse 9, he actually states it. So verse 9 says, therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? So what he's saying is, I understand the position that I'm in. And man, this is very complicated. These are your people, and I feel inadequate to do this. So Lord, what I'm asking you for, it's not riches. It's not long life. What I'm asking you for is an understanding heart to be able to judge your people. And Lord, I'm asking you to help me be able to discern between good and evil and right or wrong as I judge your people. Because man, what a tremendous task this is at hand. And at this point, Solomon just feels like he is completely not up to the job. When you think about it, you think about what an overwhelming sense of responsibility that he had being the king. Not only being a king and ruling people, but being a king of God's chosen people, to rule them in a way that God would want them to be ruled. That sounds like a tremendous, monumental task. Now, this is a very interesting question, because we always talk about King Solomon's wisdom, and we use that word. Sometimes people will use that word instead of knowledge to be redundant, but I think there's two different things. So what do you think the difference between wisdom and knowledge is? Yeah, consider it for a moment. Is there a difference? Do you think that there's a difference? I believe that there is a tremendous difference, because there's a lot of people that I know who have a lot of knowledge. They have a lot of head knowledge. They know a lot of things about a lot of things. And yet they do not exercise wisdom. You know, you sit back. How many times have you used the expression, man, you're one of the smartest people I know. Why are you making these crazy decisions that you're making? Why is it that you can't seem to have the good sense to get out of the rain? Yeah, and yet you're one of the smartest people that I know. So folks, there is a difference between wisdom and knowledge. I believe that wisdom is how you enact the knowledge that you have and how you do it in a proper fashion. Now, as you think about that, as you think about and realize that there's a difference between wisdom and knowledge, what is the difference between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom? There's a huge difference between those as well. You know, as a born-again believer, as somebody who has trusted Christ, one of the things that should be paramount in our heart is that we need to seek godly wisdom. You know, not only from the Word of God, not only through prayer, but we need to seek godly wisdom for those who have godly wisdom that are around us and that are in our midst, those who have made proper decisions, godly decision. Worldly wisdom is about how you're getting by day to day. There is a difference between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom, because as a born-again believer in this world, we're strangers. We are aliens in a foreign land. This is not our home. Our home is the place called heaven, where it will be under the edict of what the Word tells us, where we will be in the presence of God, where things will be perfect. So worldly wisdom is not going to help you when it comes down to godly wisdom. Now, a question that I also ask you is this: which one of those types of wisdom are you chasing in your lifetime today? Are you chasing after worldly wisdom? Are you chasing after things that are of the world? Or are you chasing after godly wisdom? Are you seeking what it is that God would want for you to do? Are you doing things in the way that God would want you to do them based on what he tells us in his word, based on how he leads us through the Holy Spirit. So there's a huge difference between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. And I know it's a crazy question, but which one do you think God wants you to have more? Worldly wisdom or godly wisdom? Some of y'all would say, well, even an elementary person can understand that. God, certainly God wants us to have godly wisdom. Now, what we look, you know, why do you think why did Solomon say that he needed godly wisdom down there in verse 9? He said he needed that godly wisdom because he was essentially the one that had been pointed out by God, who had been chosen by God to lead God's people in godly ways. And therefore, if you're going to lead people in godly ways, then you need godly wisdom by which to be able to do that. That is really, really simple. That's like 2 + 2. So this is what he is essentially asking God for. He said, God, I want you to give me wisdom so that I can lead your people in the ways of your word and your will. Lord, I want you to help me to be an instrument in your hands. Yeah, that it's not about me, it's about you. It's not about this land, but yet it's about the kingdom. Now, in his wisdom, King Solomon also wrote the book of Proverbs. As you read through Proverbs, you're reading the writings of Solomon. And there's something that he tells us in Proverbs 9:10 that's very important. I think that each and every one of us should remember this particular passage. It's very simple. Proverbs 9:10 says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Now, did you get that first part? That was just basically two sentences. But yet the very first part is so telling. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There, some of you that are watching this today, you might be being honest with yourself and you're saying, I don't have godly wisdom and I need that godly wisdom. So what is the first step for me to be able to acquire godly wisdom as opposed to worldly wisdom? Well, the first thing that we're told, particularly out of Proverbs 9:10, is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, fear in this case is not a fear like being afraid of something. A fear in this sense means reverence. Yeah. In other words, you could say the reverence of the Lord, the holiness of the Lord. Understanding that is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it all starts. It all starts with reverencing God. And that's exactly what Solomon was doing in our scripture text for today, because he was sitting there, you know, confessing, God, these are your people. You have big plans for your people, and I'm nothing, but yet I'm placed in a position to be able to lead them. And I don't want to mess this up. I want to lead them in your ways, but I need wisdom to be able to do that. And he is already expressing the fear or reverence to the Lord in regard to being able to do that. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And how good is that for you and I to know in our day and age? Because God is calling us to the same thing. He is calling us to godly wisdom. Now, Solomon says that it is the reverence or the fear of God is where it all starts. Reflection in our scripture text today is exactly what we read written in Proverbs 9:10. He wasn't sitting there going, "Hey, look, man, I'm the king. You're going to do things my way. You know, I'm over you people. I'm going to lord over you, and I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it the Frankie Sinatra way," which means my way. That's not what he said. He went to God and he said, "God, these are your people. I want to do it the way you want it done, and I don't have the tools to do it." You know, being able to confess that goes a long way. How many times in life have you ever been around somebody who sits back and says they know how to do something that they don't know how to do? Because pride kept them from saying, "Hey, look, man, I'm clueless. I need some help. If you'll show me how to do this, then I'll do it." Particularly people that are in leadership positions. It's often hard for them to ask for help because they feel that is going to give people a dim view two of them. They're afraid that somebody would say, well, you don't know what you're doing, so you don't need to be in that particular position. And, you know, part of that is true. But the bottom line is, for somebody to be wise, they must be able to forego ignorance. And to be able to forego ignorance, you must first be able to admit that that's where you are. Lord God, I don't know. I need your help. I need your wisdom to be able to do things the way you want them done. And that principle holds true in your life and in my life as well. Now, think about this. Why is asking God for wisdom better than asking him for something like long life or riches? Why do you think that would be? You know, because you know what? Wisdom will help you attain those other things, you know, along the way. By the way, wisdom is also something that can be used not only in your life, but in the lives of other people. You know, it's not a selfish request when you're asking for wisdom. Now, God was pleased with what Solomon asked. You know, he heard him. And like I said before, I think it was a test. You know, he was going to say, well, what's Solomon going to ask for? If I were to grant him anything he wanted, what would he ask for? Because that also shows intent of the heart. And that also shows, you know, where a person really is. What would you ask for? You know, I asked you that question earlier in this Bible study. I said, well, if you had an opportunity to ask, what would you ask God for? You know, and I know there's some pet answers that people will use. Well, I would ask for peace on earth. I'm not saying that those are bad things, but you know, what would you ask for? Now, because Solomon asked for wisdom rather than long life and riches, God was very pleased with that. And not only was God so pleased with that, God did something that God always seems to do in my life, and I know he does in your life as well. He went two steps beyond that with Solomon. And we find the answer to that in verses, 10 through 13 of our text. And look at what he did. You know, remember what, you know, you figure here's Solomon. He's asked the Lord for wisdom, you know, and a lot of people would sit back and probably be listening to that conversation and say, oh, Solomon asking for riches, asking for that. And then when they heard what he asked for, they might have said, I wouldn't have asked for that. There's no way. I mean, I think he just blew what he asked God for. But that's not what God felt. In verse 11 of 1 Kings chapter 3, this is how God responded to Solomon. It says, then God said to him, because you have asked this thing, and that this thing meaning asking for wisdom, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for long life for yourself, nor have asked for riches for yourself, nor have asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. You know what God's saying to him right there? He's saying, not only are you going to be wise, you will be the wisest person that has ever existed, and you're going to be the wisest person that will ever exist. He said, there's not going to be anyone that's going to have the wisdom that you've had in the past, the present, or the future. Now, could you imagine being Solomon and hearing that? You're sitting there thinking, wow, that's cool. I'm going to get what I asked for. But God didn't stop there, okay? He says it in verse 13, and I have also given you what you have not asked for. I love this passage because you know what? God is so good in how he takes care of us. How many times has God given you something that was good for you and something that you didn't even ask for that was a privilege? Okay. So God is telling Solomon, you asked for a good thing. You asked for wisdom and I'm going to grant it to you. I'm going to give you that wisdom, but not only am I going to grant you that wisdom. Verse 13 of 1 Kings 3 says this, and I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. You know what? Because he didn't ask for God to wipe out his enemies, because he didn't ask God to make him wealthy or to make his name be honored among all people. God said, I'm going to give that to you too. Isn't God like that? Isn't that so great? And God goes even beyond the things that we would ask him for when we ask in the right way, when we ask with the right heart. Now, folks, you also have to remember too that you cannot fool God. That's not something you're going to be able to do. You can fool people, you can fool your preacher, you can fool your family, but you are never, ever, ever going to fool God. Now, God was pleased with Solomon and his request, and because of that, not only did he grant him the request, he gave him the things that he didn't ask for, but there's something else important that we need to remember, that God also placed a condition upon this. Now, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, okay, here are the strings that are attached. Well, sure, yeah, there's going to be a string attached to it. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 14 shows us what the strings attached to it are. He says this in verse 14, he said, so if you walk in my ways, in other words, he wants the people to walk in godly ways according to what the word says, according to what they've been taught by the prophets. So if you walk in my way, to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Now get this. I always like to call that an if-then statement. So in other words, if you walk in my way and keep my statutes and keep my commandments, then I will lengthen your days. So there was a caveat along the way with that. God says, as long as you're doing right, as long as you're walking right, these are going to be things that are going to be added unto your life. And he says, and I will lengthen your days. That's yet another thing that he didn't ask for. But what happened was God said, if you do that, then I'm going to be faithful to you. I am going to give you not only what you wanted, but I'm also going to give you what you didn't ask for. I'm going to add these blessings to you. Okay? Now, this is important for us to understand that this is how God deals not only in the life of Solomon, but it's how God deals with his children today. Now, I've always said as we do our Bible studies that we need to look for examples to be able to follow. In this case, Solomon is a great example to follow. He had the right heart. He had the right request. And because he did, then what happened was God not only granted the request, but he added to that request things that Solomon didn't even ask for. Now, there's assurances that the Bible gives us. Now, we also get an assurance as we read in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 5. There's another assurance that we're given. Let me share that passage with you. James, chapter 1, verse 5 says this. And this is critical for us in our day as we continue to follow the Lord. James 1, 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Yeah, I love this passage because it is so simple. If you lack wisdom, God says, just ask. You know, if you don't know how to handle a situation, ask God. But you know, there's another little key in there. When you ask God, you also have to be listening to what it is that he tells you, because he's going to lead you. And people would say, well, how's he going to lead me? You know, that you might say, well, I'm a little dense and the Lord's not speaking to me audibly these days. Well, he's going to speak to you through his word. He's going to speak to you through prayer. He's going to speak to you through circumstance. He's going to speak to you through messages in the church. He's going to speak to you with good, godly, wise counsel, as long as you expose yourself to that. But if anyone lacks wisdom, God says this, just ask me. You know, the biggest things in life, I mean, think about Solomon, the position that he was in, what he was getting ready to have to encounter along the way. And he said, man, I just don't know how to do that. So he asked God, help me, Lord, give me wisdom that I might be able to do it your way. Are those the kind of prayers that you and I are praying? Lord, we want to do it our way. Or are we praying, Lord, make us wealthy, Lord, make us powerful, Lord, make us famous? You know, what are those things? By the way, if you do it right, you may find yourself in the exact same shoes Solomon found himself in, where God not only grants the request, he grants the things that weren't asked for, that would be nice along the way, okay? So God gives us some assurances. If you lack wisdom, he says, just ask me. I'll give it to you. Now, yeah, in addition to praying for wisdom, what are some other spiritual disciplines that will help us to acquire godly wisdom? Well, I mentioned them just a moment ago. Are you in his word? This is where spiritual wisdom comes from. Yeah, one of the things that's said about the Bible is it is the world's longest bestseller, but yet the least read. It's not about just doing a superficial reading. It's about getting into the Word. It's about allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you along the way as you read His Word and how it becomes applicable to your life. The Lord in you should change you. Here's how we learn how to walk in His way. This is where we learn our wisdom from. You know, there's enough self-help books out there to fill up everybody's library from here to Kingdom Come. But it's not about self-help. It's about getting into the Word. This is the only book that we really need because it has all the answers. Are we seeking it? So, yeah, first of all, are we praying for wisdom? Is that what we're asking God for? Are we exercising the other spiritual disciplines of Bible study and prayer and church attendance, discipleship groups? Are we hanging around with good, godly people who exercise wisdom? And I know you got people in your life in the same way that I do, that when you're around them, wisdom's just oozing out of them. You know, are you hanging around with those kind of people? Are you listening to what they have to say? Are you bending their ear? Are you trying to be a part of their life to figure out the best way in which to go forward in a godly manner? And so let me ask this, in what ways does godly wisdom affect your everyday choices? You know, we have choices every day that we make. We make thousands of them every day. Some and many that we do are unconscious, but there are times when we have to set and we have to make decisions and we have to weigh out the facts and we have to weigh out the factors. The question is, are we using godly wisdom? Are we allowing God's wisdom to affect us in a way that it leads to us making very good everyday choices in what we do? I can't answer that question for you, but the Holy Spirit's already put on your heart what the answer to that question is. Now, I want you to think about maybe some recent decisions that you've had to make that you can recall, not those automatic things that you do, but in recent decisions that you've made, how have you been influenced by either worldly or godly wisdom when you had to make that choice? Hopefully and prayerfully, the godly wisdom outlasted the worldly wisdom that you had when it came down to making those decisions. Now, folks, let me tell you, all of us make bad choices. All of us make bad decisions at times. But most of the time when we make those bad decisions, it wasn't because we lacked the godly wisdom to make the correct decision. It wasn't that we lacked the leadership of the Holy Spirit and conviction of the Holy Spirit in our lives when we made the poor decision. It's just generally been a willful decision because we were selfish and we wanted what we wanted. We wanted it when we wanted it, and we wanted it how we wanted it. And we allowed worldly wisdom to influence us as opposed to godly wisdom, okay? So which one is leading your life, worldly wisdom or godly wisdom? You know, as you think about that, is there an area in your life today where you need to pray a little bit more diligently about how God can give you wisdom to help in those certain situations? As always, you know, we'll be happy to pray for you. I know what happens. Most people are embarrassed when we find an area of our life like this, and we don't really want to open ourselves up to somebody else. You know, we want to try to hide it or maybe let God work with us without letting everybody know what's going on or taking place in our life. And I get that, but I want you to understand too that we here at Central Baptist Church are more than willing to pray for you and to walk through this particular phase of life with you or this particular storm. We're willing to walk with you as God wants to instill upon you and in you good godly wisdom, that you will make wonderful choices in your life for the kingdom as you go forward. So if there's something there we can pray for you about, please let us know. If not, then I want to encourage you, get on your knees and begin to seek God and simply say to him, Lord, I'm lacking wisdom here. I need your help, because we know that the word tells us, and the word does not return void, but it says that if any man lacks wisdom, it says you go and ask God and he'll give it to you. Now, if you ask him, you better start looking around for what he's telling you in your life. You better learn to listen in prayer as much as we learn to talk in prayer. Okay, and God will provide that. He's given us that promise in his word, and we can certainly take that to the bank. Now, in light of what we've learned today about what Solomon asked for, we need to pray for one another, particularly in the specific areas of our lives where we need godly wisdom. Now, God knows, you know, I don't have to know your name or what your circumstance or situation is. God knows. I'll be lifting you up in prayer. Could you lift somebody else up in prayer? Could you lift up your brothers and sisters in prayer for this same thing? We just need to cry out, God, we need your wisdom, godly wisdom, not earthly or worldly wisdom. And then, Lord, help us to ascribe to walking in the godly ways with the godly wisdom that we will learn. And we're going to pray a prayer just like that in just a moment. But for right now, I want to go ahead and give you what our Bible readings for this week are. Now, there's a little curveball in this. They're not five consecutive. I've taken one of them out. So this week, our Bible readings will be 1 Kings chapters 17, 18, 19, 21, and 22. So we took 20 out of there. Once again, that's 1 Kings 17, 18, 19, 21, and 22. And next week, we will discuss how Ahab takes Naboth's vineyard out of the book of 1 Kings, chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to you right now, Lord, we just ask for your wisdom. Sometimes, Lord, we want to try to play like we don't know or don't understand, but we know that we have the Holy Spirit who is our teacher. Lord, there are areas that we're weak in. I pray that we would have an attitude like Solomon had, at least at this particular point in his life. He understood the magnitude of the position that he was in, and he didn't want to mess that up. He wanted it to be right for the kingdom's sake, for your sake. And Lord, because of that, he went and he said, Lord, I don't know how to do this. I need your wisdom. Will you help me with that? And of course, Father, the word shows us that you did exactly that. You said, not only am I going to give you wisdom, I'm going to give you a bunch of these extra little things that are going to make life good for you. And Lord, we thank you today that we know that Solomon was the wisest man to ever walk on this planet. May we aspire to be like him. May we, Lord, when we lack wisdom, may we be adamant about coming to you and saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. I need wisdom. Because, Father, thank you that your word tells us that when we ask, we will receive. So, Lord, help us to become wise with godly wisdom rather than worldly wisdom, that we might be about your business, your way. For, Lord, we know that the time is at hand. Lord, give us a great week. Send us to somebody who needs to hear the story that we can tell for your honor and for your glory. And, Lord, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, thank you again for joining us for our Wednesday Bible study. If you're in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area, we would love to have you come worship with us. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Our worship service begins at 10:45 on Sunday mornings. Also, you'll see on the screen our website's there. If you need any information about who we are or what to expect, click on that, go and read about us, and we look forward to having the opportunity to meet you hopefully this Sunday. May God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful week.